I just kind of saw this ultra comforting aesthetic in so many different, it played out in so many different ways, from the softest, most cloud-like inviting furniture through to more playful and kind of even more glam takes on the trend. And this was both indoor and outdoor as well.
That's Claire Dickinson, Senior Editor of Interiors at WGSN, talking about comfort and product design. I'm Lisa White, Creative Director and Director of Interiors at WGSN, and I'm here in conversation with Claire and with Senior Editor Eva Klabun. In January, we walked the halls of Maison et Objet in Paris, one of the most important trade shows in the world for home interiors and products. We analyzed the product design trends from boucle to papier-mâché, sustainability to scentscaping. Today, we kick off by discussing the central theme of the show this year, which was all about care, whether that means people or the environment, indoors or outdoors. Take care was the central theme of the show, which mirrors our WGSN care culture forecast for autumn-winter 23-24, which we published, remember, way back in 2021. Care culture outlines the importance of home as a place of comfort, home as a place of well-being and even healing, with mood-boosting colors and reassuring textures. And we really saw this play across Maison. And Claire, you're our interior design expert. What, you know, part of the trend did you find most noteworthy?
So we have been recently exploring the evolution of comfort and what that really means. And the concept of comfort is it's nothing new, of course, but we're kind of living through this polycrisis. And so people are needing and craving comfort now more than ever. So we've really been delving into how comfort can be amplified and enhanced. And this really fits into the show's theme of taking care. And I just kind of saw this ultra comforting aesthetic in so many different, it played out in so many different ways, from the softest, most cloud-like inviting furniture through to more playful and kind of even more glam takes on the trend. And this was both indoor and outdoor as well. There were lots of cozy sweaters or padded jackets for furniture, which we've been called out as a key trend for 2023 to soften them. Things like extended silhouettes on chairs or sofas with kind of like cocooning wraparound layers to sort of wrap around the user. But one of my key highlights from a kind of more conceptual perspective was by Marta Armengol, who was part of the Rising Talent Award section. So she's an architect based in Barcelona, and her collection is a series of soft pillow-like pieces, which are they're designed to be used both individually as things like cushions or room dividers, but they can also be piled up and combined to build like different environments, almost as if creating like a cozy den.
Yeah, so basically playing with pillows at the same time too and doing everything with those. And Eva, as our furniture and decor expert, what struck you the most at Maison?
So what I found most interesting at the fair is that this time there was really a great variety of materials everywhere. So normally you'd see that one material would be very much the key material of the fair, but this time there was lots of tinted and clear glass, for example. We saw lots of structured and smooth surfaces for that. We did still see a lot of ceramics in there, like speckled surfaces, glazed, unglazed surfaces. Then also this dark and light wood trend would be going on. We saw a lot of wood medley still. Wicker and rattan was still prominent, but then you saw lots of different interlaced structures for that. And then also looking towards furniture, there was a lot of fabrics for furniture that was updated. That would be more plush, more comfort, as Claire was explaining. And then coming to decor collections, we would, for example, see lots of colors in there. We would have lots of fantasy themes where materials and colors would be mixed with each other. And yeah, in a way to create mood boosting collections there. If we look towards Enclivering Amsterdam, they do that basically every time. But you kind of see that other suppliers and exhibitors took on that approach and mixed a lot of pattern with each other, mixed lots of materials with each other, really creating a colorful and happy collection. And then the last thing about lighting that I noticed was that there's lots of statement lighting around, like basically talking about floor lamps that are giant, really creating a focal point for each room. That was something that stood out as well, because lighting had been a bit more pared back in the past. So that was something interesting for me.
Hi, I'm Lisa White, and this is the WGSN Create Tomorrow podcast. And we are discussing the trends we saw at Maison et Objet. Next, we discuss color. Claire, as the author of our CMF report, what colors stood out for you? I mean, I know there have been so many articles recently about the world reverting to neutrals and grays, you know, what's happened to color in the world. But even though there were so many calming neutrals, like that beautifully tactile exhibition by the Ukrainian designers, there was also a great deal of color, right?
Yeah, we definitely saw a lot of neutrals and kind of brownish earthy colors like amber and terracotta. So like really comforting and nourishing. But yes, there was also lots of color. It was used in quite sort of like bold mood boosting ways, especially pastel combinations. And I think pastels have the benefit of being both soothing and uplifting at the same time. We also saw lots of vibrant kind of sunset hues as well. And actually the trend forum by Elizabeth Louis also used these kind of warm sunset shades, which kind of ranged from like really striking fiery red tones through to soft and more diffused oranges and yellows. So they were really nice. And then last season we talked about pink as a neutral. And for this season, it's all about green as the new neutral. So muted shades of sage, olive and khaki. And this was particularly apparent on outdoor furniture or indoor-outdoor pieces.
Yeah, exactly. And I remember that outdoor brand by a new exhibitor from Mexico that had the most gorgeous, almost lacquered green outdoor chair that was super, super inspiring. And speaking of green, that indoor-outdoor is such a long-term trend. We've been talking about it for decades now. But of course, we've seen the desire to spend more time outside really accelerate since the pandemic. And there were so many great new outdoor furnishing launches this year. And a lot of them were, I felt, super elevated. It was the sort of thing you would want to have inside your home as well, too. And Ava, what is your take on the outdoor furnishings at Maison this season?
So going through the halls, it was definitely apparent that all outdoor ranges, but especially the seating, was much more expressive than in recent seasons and also compared to other fairs before. So I've been to Spoga last year and you saw that there was lots of muted gray colors, for example, and seating was still more essential rather than expressive. And that really changed for Maison. So, for example, we would see lots of throne-like chairs in the fair with bold colors and an intricate weaving technique in the making. There was lots of metal chairs as well, but they would have changed from the past in the sense that they would showcase bolder colors and they would have different perforations on them, like the metal perforation would change rather than just being, you know, just slats. They would be much more intricate. So looking at Ames, which is the German brand, but featuring Colombian designers, they had a great stand and showed a lot of this, what I was saying earlier, in bold colors with intricate weaving. They had throne-like chairs in their displays, really drawing attention to their stand. So yes, in general, we also saw the overarching trend that indoors and outdoors would be combined. So there were a lot of furniture pieces, but also decorative outdoor pieces that you could use for either outdoor and indoor places, so the consumer could carry them out or inside at the end of the season. For example, day beds was a big thing that we saw. And yeah, in general, it's all about having a second living room in your outdoor space.
Exactly. It's all about the outdoor room. And I love those two huge tents from Authentic that basically were set up to create entire rooms outside. So you had them with an entire living room, an entire bedroom, lounge. And all the furniture in there was something you would want indoors or out. They were really, really stunning. You're listening to the WGSN Create Tomorrow podcast. I'm Lisa White, and we are diving into the next boucle trend at Maison et Objet. Tactility is such an important part of the long-term trend towards care. And Claire, what do you feel were the most important textures and finishes at Maison?
There was a huge amount of like really soft plush tactility in furniture as part of the comfort conversation. And I think it's kind of building upon the success of the Ecru kind of boucle trend. So there's lots of plush jumbo cord, lots of faux fur, which I think when done in the right way, it can have a sort of like retro inspired 70s flair, like the longer shag styles. But it can also be quite playful as well. We also saw it in more sort of luxe or glam takes as well, depending on how people were doing it. I even saw a fusion of jumbo cord and faux fur within one product. So it was on like quite an angular shaped sofa and chair, and it made for quite a nice contrasting combination.
That sounds amazing. I missed that one. But what I loved about the idea of, you know, the boucle, accru boucle, which is gorgeous, but if you've got children, forget about it. The idea of that jumbo cord means you can wash and dry it basically too. So I really liked that sort of take on it. And it's a little bit more, I guess, cost conscious as well. How about you, Eva?
Yeah, so moving away from softer goods and looking into what solid surfaces, we definitely saw a lot of plaster-like surfaces, paper mache-like finishes that underline the sculptural trend, lots of raw surfaces with a kind of very dusty feel to them for home accessories, but also for smaller coffee tables, for example. So one brand that stood out there for me was Mette Ditma from Denmark, because they kind of, in a way, really focused on that dusty, like plastery like surface with essential colors in the combination, so the surfaces would really stand out. Then in general, for soft tactility, we still saw lots of travertine. That's really commercial material still going on in the market. But then looking towards new surfaces, we have something complementing that direction, which goes a bit more into the direction of futuristic trends or, yeah, luxe finishes. We saw lots of hammered metals, satin metals, or also, yeah, mirrored surfaces with even iridescent surfaces in combination. Paul Spotton did that, for example, in their flagship display, so everyone could see it straight away when they entered the hall.
Yeah, exactly. And I really loved their display, as per usual. But one of the things I liked was kind of at the back, and they had taken, well, their new melon vase, which they'd done in yellow glass, but basically it was a design that they started their business with. It used to be a terracotta pot decades ago called the melon pot, and it was their first product. And, you know, in a kind of sustainable design way, they kept the same design, but they just translated it into a new material. So I thought that was really, really a super positive message, and it was really gorgeous. And, you know, the idea of sustainability in all its guises is coming to the forefront so much more in design conversations. And we are really finding that, you know, the material is the message, whether that's in fashion, whether that's in design. And Claire, what were the sustainable materials that you found the most compelling at Maison?
There were a couple of really nice examples in the Future on Stage section, which is it's a newly launched platform to support emerging enterprises. So one was Guilin, who transforms marine sediments like silt into a mineral eco-material. So it's dyeable throughout, and it sort of looks like part terracotta, part concrete. And it can be used to create things like patterned wall tiles or like design objects. And then also part of that section was Le Pavé, who has developed a unique method of transforming plastic waste into a material that can be treated in the same way as wood. And they created this sort of beautiful terrazzo-style double sink, which had this smooth curved surface on the inside. And it was like the ultra-smooth finish that made it feel really fresh and new.
Yeah, exactly. And a really wonderful take on, you know, terrazzo, which started out as a sustainable material to begin with. So it looked really modern. I think my favorite sustainable design was one I found in the spotlight section, which was a new section at the back of most of the halls and its new exhibitors. So in the gifting hall, it was this great honey pot made from beeswax. And it was by a company called Bee Loop in Lithuania. And so it's this pot in which there's, you know, plenty of honey, and then the pot itself is made from the beeswax, so it's organic, it's antibacterial, it's recyclable, it's even edible apparently. And then when you're done with the honey, you can either return the pot to the brand or to a local beekeeper, because that can be used again in a new hive to make honeycomb. And the colors were amazing. You were talking about amber earlier, Claire, and those amber, you know, honey color variations were just absolutely gorgeous. So, you know, it's a really great gift that also cares for the planet. It's the Create Tomorrow podcast, and I'm Lisa White, discussing with my team the key interiors products from the last Maison et Objet trade fair in Paris. You know, when we're thinking about gifting as well, too, we're thinking about buying. And I know, Eva, you put together the buyer's briefing from Maison. So what would you say are the most important items that designers and buyers should be making sure they have in their ranges?
So for one, that would definitely be the color block candle holder that kind of combines the glass trend with totemic shapes. They are still relevant for our decor ranges. You see it everywhere, and kind of every brand was showcasing candle holders in totemic colors. Then for furniture ranges, very, very noticeable was tables with a tabletop that would have a curvy outline. So you saw that in coffee tables, but also in dining tables, bigger tables, definitely across various materials. I saw it in travertine, I saw it in wood, for example. I saw it in stone or sort of stone imitations, even in rattan or glass. So that's definitely a must-have invest for the next season.
Yeah, and Claire, as well, too, in your report, you had that section on families of forms where you had like tables and even chairs fitting together, right?
I did, yeah. So that was kind of following on from we've been talking about sort of embracing forms. And this kind of came across furniture and decor. So it's kind of little vases that slot together, or it'd be a small little kidney shaped coffee table that slots into a circular chair, that kind of thing.
Yeah, sort of like products that hug each other.
Exactly.
And besides those, what would you say is the product that most embodied care culture at Maison?
Well, I would say since outdoor living is so key for the care culture trend, one product highlight for me would be the heated outdoor chair by a Belgian brand, Rolf. And it's called the Hot Dotty Outdoor Chair. And it's got an integrated rechargeable heating element, which kind of also links to the idea of heating the human and not the home, which is something we've been discussing a lot recently during the cost of living crisis. But it's designed to be used year round outside, and it's created with a really strong yarn that can withstand like sun and rain, but it can also be used inside as well. And it's just super comfortable. It's ergonomically designed.
And it was really beautiful as well, too. They used great looking yarns. And I love that idea. Instead of having those really polluting sort of outdoor heaters, you can just have the chair that's heated. Like you say, just heat the small space and not the whole outdoor space, which is impossible and not sustainable. And then lastly, we are preparing a report on scentscaping and how people are layering scent in their homes. It's been such a big trend. We've been seeing it in beauty as well, too, and how people are layering scent. And of course, Maison has an entire hall dedicated to scent as well, too. And I know you basically visited every exhibitor in that hall, Eva. So what did you find to be most inspiring in scent?
Yeah, I got really excited about that hall, to be fair, because I personally love scented candles, but I had to find out that that is not the latest trend anymore. So there were lots of kits in there where scentscaping categories were combined with each other. You could buy, for example, a kit from a brand that's called Van Dang from America, where they would have a crystal in it, like a personalized oil and a scent diffuser lamp where you can use it for your well-being rituals at home. And depending on how you feel, like if you need something energizing or maybe something relaxing, you choose the right crystal for that mood and then you can use the right oil with it. That was something very intriguing I found. And then, that massive stand of Baobab, that was incredible. It was like, I think it was the most amazing stand in the whole hall, with a massive patterned stand from the outside. You could see lots of giant scented candles, diffusers in there. And what they did is they offered it really as a collection. So you could go and buy a crafted collection where scented candle vessels would be inside a sort of woven basket, or you could go and get your marble edition, you could go and get your art deco edition. So there was basically everything there that you ever wanted in scentscaping. That was great.
Thank you to Claire and Eva for taking time to speak to us today. If you want to find out more about Maison, you'll find 3 dedicated reports on our site. If you want to find out more about the evolution of care culture, we have multiple forecasts stretching into 2025. If you're not a subscriber, visit wgsn.com to find out how you can get access to our service. We're constantly publishing new content focusing on how we can design a brighter, better future for our industries, including interiors, food and drink, beauty, fashion, and consumer tech. You can subscribe to the show on all major podcast platforms. And if you like what you've heard, why not leave us a rating and a review on iTunes? I'd also like to thank our podcast producer, Roland Bodenham. We'll be back soon. Next week, you'll hear from Cassandra Napoli as she talks about virtual humans with our guest, Christopher Travers. Tune in next time.